Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back. Now, the final Scally review of the implementation of his inquiry recommendations has found that substantial progress has been made on the 50 recommendations. At the publication of his 39-page report in Dublin yesterday, Dr. Gabriel Scally said there are areas that remain where improvement has lagged behind what might reasonably expected. We can hear some audio now of Dr. Scally yesterday.
Happy to confirm that substantial progress has been achieved, and in many ways the cervical check programme has improved substantially as a result of the coordinated efforts of the staff of the various organisations. Knowing the history of healthcare failures in Ireland over the years, that women's health was an area that had been sadly neglected, and I recounted in my major report how the focus on women's health had been lost and there was no focus left. And I'm extraordinarily pleased. The work that's been done on women's health is exceptionally good, and the programme and the funding that's been set aside is very, very welcome. And it is going to make a big difference. So women's health has been put very much on the centre stage, and I hope it remains there, and I wish it every success in improving women's health in Ireland.
On the line now is Eilish O'Regan, health correspondent with the Irish Independent. Good morning, Eilish. And I know you were in that room yesterday. What was the general outcome or the consensus there? And can you give us an overview?
There was a strong message, you know, that the overhaul of cervical check in terms of, if you remember in 2018, there his scoping report, which followed, you know, the revelations of Vicky Phelan, it found that there was a poor quality assurance, and that really that it was poorly run, and there needed to be more monitoring of the labs, and also just a better surveillance system in place. So, as you know, then he came up with about 50 recommendations, and then there was an action plan put in place. So what he has been doing is he's been sort of tracking that now for a couple of years. So really, I suppose, structurally and all of that, and, you know, cervical check is transformed. You know, it has the various committees now, and, you know, the quality assurance and all of those kind of key elements. So his message really is that it is a safe service now. So women can be assured that it's as safe as any screening service. I suppose his message, though, was that you can put all of the structures in place, but it has to be followed not just in letter, but also in spirit. And I suppose what we took away from it really was that there's still a pervasive attitude at the higher echelons of cervical check that there were no failings. And he was quite clear that cervical check in 2018 was not on par, as some people at the higher level would say, was not on par with other similar screening programs. So I think that attitude perhaps still prevails that no wrong was done.
I note as well that Dr. Scally said that there was a need for a duty of candour on health professionals, that there was an absence of a complaint system and an over-reliance on the judicial system as a means of solving problems arising in clinical care. He welcomed the plan to have screening at the Coombe Hospital, but he also said it was important to have a backup lab screening system, because that was one of the things that came out of this, was all the screening was done in America, was it not?
Well, indeed. But equally, I suppose if we were to rely entirely on our own national screening laboratory, something could happen. Say, for instance, up until, say, the end of last year, the majority of screening was done in the United States, and then a proportion was done in the Coombe lab. But, of course, that was the subject of a cyber attack in December. So actually, for the most part of 2022, all these slides have gone abroad. So we can't rely entirely either. You know, we're due to have a national laboratory, and it's finished structurally, but they're trying to get refine various elements and get staff, etc. So that will only run on a phased basis, and it will be a good few years before it's able to take on all of the work. So I suppose what he's saying there is that perhaps sharing the screening maybe between Ireland and abroad is not a bad thing, because if one of them has a fault, then there is a backup. So but he was quite clear, obviously, the duty of candor, as in owning up to mistakes, needs to be given priority. And there's the patient safety bill, and part of that incorporates, you know, open disclosure. And now, following the tragic death there of Vicky Phelan, there have been promises to bring that forward before the end of the year. But that is very, very complex, that whole area. And it needs to be, you know, refined so as to not exclude certain areas and all of that. So perhaps maybe if they took more time, before the legislation is passed. And now there are a number of amendments coming, and we haven't seen those yet. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the detail of those amendments. But I suppose what's clear really is that he also highlighted that, you know, a lot of the women in the 221 plus group who would have been impacted by the controversy, some of those have had quite a tough time trying to get a doctor, an oncologist, to take them on, because they said that, you know, they have been quizzed as to whether or not they're in the 221 group, and then they have faced refusals from doctors. That reflects badly on the doctors as well. And then he also pointed out that maybe, the medical council, which regulates doctors, its guidelines there, they need to be amended, he said, because at the moment it said that in relation to open disclosure, doctors should. And he said that the should be replaced by the word must. I suppose it's a sparse enough report, but what he does, I suppose, is he highlights various issues, and rather than a major span of issues, what he does is he weeds out what he thinks, obviously, are the priorities. And I think if one was kind of distill it down, it would be certainly cervical check at the highest level needs to really look at its culture. I think number one. Number two, we need a duty of candor, and then the open disclosure legislation needs to be quite refined in order for it to have wide impact.
And if we go back to the initial point as well, Eilish, was a reminder that in 2018 Gabriel Scally published his report into the cervical check controversy. He then made 50 recommendations for change, and what we saw yesterday was an update there to see how many of these recommendations had been implemented. He's saying that substantial progress has been made. So therefore, are we looking on this positively, or are we saying much has been done but still a lot to do?
Well, I suppose what you could say perhaps is a lot has been done, but significant issues remain. I think structurally cervical check is very sound, but I suppose the 221 women still feel somewhat excluded. Now, I know they're represented on various committees and all of that, but maybe more patient representation could be looked at. But it's there are problems within cervical check still, it would appear, in terms of not really coming to terms with its past. And I suppose if you don't do that, how can you move forward? And does that then influence decisions you might make in the future around screening? So I think quite a nebulous thing, the culture of an organisation, but I do think he definitely pointed a finger at that, and how really there needs to be a change of mindset.
Well, that's a key point, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Eilish, in what it could mean going forward and to ensure that the same mistakes don't happen again. Because for a lot of these women, Emma Vicfahuna, Lindsay Bennett, Vicky Phelan and others, it was too late. And, you know, we've seen what's happened there and it's caused devastation for families. How can we be sure that women don't go through this again?
We can't be sure. What we do is, it's all mitigation at this stage there, Owen, and minimising risks. Now, I have to say that the form of screening that was in place for those women, that has changed now, and there's HPV tests now in place which are much more accurate than the previous form of cytology. So that's a reassurance for women, but it's not entirely accurate. It's to do with... involving more members of the public on committees, involving them in more decisions. Because a key thing that has to yet be done is, you may remember, obviously, you know, in the case of Vicky Phelan, Vicky discovered that there was an undisclosed retrospective audit carried out of women who developed cervical cancer, and the cervical check went back and looked at their sites to see if, in fact, they had been incorrectly read. And we know that in the case of about 200, they could have had a different result. So one of the crunch issues ahead now for cervical check is how do they go forward with this type of audit in the future? Because it has stalled since 2018. So say, for instance, right, they find when they recommence audit that 10 women could have had a different result. Will they get back to them and tell them this? You know, what sort of procedures will they have in place to inform them? Now, there is a new system, I think, coming in the new year where a woman who develops an interval cancer, so that's between screenings, she can actually request to, you know, to have her slides looked at again. And then, obviously, whatever... cervical check comes up with, they're obliged to inform her. But it's how much information they're giving out. Is there still maybe just a culture of maybe secrecy or not giving women the full information? So that's a very broad area, but there will be challenges ahead for cervical check as to how exactly it's going to manage areas like that in the future. And then Mr. Scally has said that, you know, there is a need for a change in culture. So there has to be some soul searching within cervical check itself to ensure, because and to take on board what he says, because he knows the organisation very well at this point. He's an objective observer. So I think there are lessons to be taken for cervical check from his report.
Absolutely, and I noticed that he said the best way to honour Vicky Phelan is to implement all of the cervical check recommendations, both in letter and in spirit. And as we have said from the outset, substantial progress has been made on the 50 recommendations, but still other issues that need to be focused on there. I'm sure you can get the full report online as well. It's 39 pages. And providing that overview is Eilish O'Regan, health correspondent with the Irish Independent. Eilish, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Owen.
You're more than welcome. Thank you, Eilish. And we started off this piece with some audio from Dr. Gabriel Scally. We can hear more from him now, basically calling on what he would like to see done.
Many times I've said that there are three things that patients want when things go wrong. They want to know the truth. They want also, if there was something, someone at fault, they would like someone to say sorry, and preferably the person that was responsible for that fault, not an anonymous letter from an assistant general manager or the head of an organisation they've never heard of, but they want to sit across the table from someone who was involved. And the third thing they want, and I've seen this in spades with the women and the families affected by cervical check, that they want to know what you're doing to make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else. And that matters enormously to people. And that issue of making sure that things do change and are improved is, I think, precisely what 221 Plus is all about. And that is the sort of attitude that we need to be encouraging and not in any way demeaning or sidelining.
Dr. Gabriel Scally there, and I'm sure a lot of you will have seen last night the Vicky programme or documentary on RTE1 and also on The Tonight Show on Virgin Media last night. This topic was covered extensively, and the most important thing, and Dr. Scally referenced it there towards the end, is to ensure that this doesn't happen again and that families don't go through what the families of Vicky Phelan, Lindsay Bennett, Emma Vicfahuna and those other women and campaigners have gone through over the last number of years. Thanks again to Eilish O'Regan for joining us. And of course, if you would like to get in touch with us, 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, a number of winter safety talks are being held around Kildare over the next couple of weeks. They've been organised by the Kildare Age Friendly County Programme, Kildare County Council and An Garda Síochána. And one of those organisers, Carmel Cashin, joins us now. Good morning, Carmel.
Good morning, Owen.
Tell us a little bit more about these winter safety talks then, what they are and who they're aimed at.
Yeah, so last year, I suppose, we started off this initiative around Kildare with the guards, and we found it very, very successful. But then, obviously, in the December, COVID hit, so we couldn't continue with the programme. So they're aimed at our citizens that are over 55. That's the age-friendly programme. But the reality of it is these winter safety talks are open to everyone. The idea is that you'll come along, the community guard will be there, and they're all the guards, various guards from the Kildare district. And they will give talks on everything ranging from home security, road safety, you know, like tyre safety in the winter, cyber security, online banking, all of that kind of stuff. And it's a question and answer session, so it's a very interactive piece. So if there's something on your mind, you can absolutely ask the question on the day and your local guard will be able to give you the information.
What's really after striking me by looking at the list of where these talks are taking place, it's not just in one or two towns around the county, you're really going to all corners of Kildare.
Yeah, we've tried to go as far as we could. Like last year, as I said, we ran it over 2 weeks, but in the second week we had to stop. So I was very conscious of the locations that we just didn't get to. So this year with the library service, we've partnered with the library and the guards so that we could bring it to more areas. And wherever there's not a library, we have linked in with either a local GAA club or a community centre, like say the likes of Carbery there or Ballymore Eustace. So the idea of it was not just for the big towns, but really for the rural areas as well, because as you know, there'll be a lot of people that'll be kind of a little bit nervous maybe in those areas as well, so it's important that they're included.
Okay, we're going to go through the list in a moment, so if anybody listening wants to maybe grab a pen and a piece of paper to listen out to see if your town or village is included or where the nearest talk is going to be taking place and when, we'll give you a chance to do that. But Carmel, it's completely free for people to pop along, is it?
Oh God, yeah, it's absolutely free, and you know there'll be tea and a few refreshments there as well. So we've tried to time it as best we can as well. You know, it's not too early in the morning. The idea is kind of after mass time that you might be down the town or you might be down the post office, and you can pop in then at 11 a.m. or after you've gone home and you've had your bit of lunch, and you come back out then at 2 o'clock. So it's not too late in the evening, and it's not too early in the morning either. So we're hoping that that will make it more accessible for people as well.
Okay, good stuff. You might run down through the list then and the days when these talks are going to be taking place and where, Carmel.
Yeah, perfect. So we're starting on Monday morning, and that's in the Athy Community Library, and that's at 11 a.m. On Tuesday, at the 29th, we're in Rathangan Library, that's at 11, and we're over in Monasterevin in the library in the afternoon at 2 p.m. On Wednesday the 30th, we're in Maynooth Community Library, and that's at 11 a.m. On the Thursday, the 1st of December, we have three events. So we're in Ballymore Eustace at 11 a.m. We're also in Naas at 11 a.m. and we're in Kilcullen at 2 p.m. Monday, the 5th of December, we're in Carbery GAA at 11 and we're in Acdal Community Centre in Allenwood at 2 p.m. On Tuesday, the 6th, we're in Selbridge Community Library at 11 a.m. Wednesday, we're in Kilcock at 11 a.m. and we're finishing off on Thursday with two sessions. The first in Newbridge Library at 11 a.m. and the final one will be in Kildare Town at 2 p.m.
Yeah, so it's great to see those towns all being ticked off there. So Athy, Rathangan, Monastrevin, Maynooth, Ballymore, Naas, Kilcullen, Carbery, Allanwood, Selbridge, Kilcock, Newbridge and Kildare Town. And if you missed any of the bits of information there as to when or where they're taking place, you can give us a call here on 0458 98 999, or there's more information on the various websites and Facebook pages online, Kildare County Council, etc. It's a great initiative, Carmel. The best of luck, and hopefully it all goes well.
Thanks very much, Owen. Thank you.
Thanks indeed for joining us. That is Carmel Cashin of the Kildare Age Friendly County Programme and Kildare County Council community worker as well. Now, if we go to Leixlip then, and the north of the county, because Ida Cusson, independent councillor there, has just sent a message in to say that the Leixlip Access Group invites people with disabilities and carers to an event to have your voice heard. It's facilitated by Miss Carol O'Donnell, the CEO of Dara Community Living. That's taking place next Tuesday, the 29th of November, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. in Leixlip Library. So you can get more information from Ida Cusson or Councillor Bernard Caldwell if you would like more details on that. But it's the Leixlip Access Group hosting that event in Leixlip Library next Tuesday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Social Democrats councillor in the Leixlip area, Nuala Killeen. Good morning, Nuala.
Good morning, Owen. How are you today?
Good. Some issues that you've been raising recently with the council, and you were first of all looking to get a number of commencement notices issued for residential developments.
Yes, and I think there was a concern that the commencement notices had been decreasing. I wanted to get a kind of a municipal district breakdown. Now, unfortunately, they weren't able to break it down by municipal district, but they did give me some figures from 2019 up to date, up to the 25th of October. Now, obviously, it's not a full calendar year, and then the pandemic year is an anomaly, so we have to accept that naturally the commencement notices would have been impacted by that. So I think what we'll be seeking to do is to encourage a system where the towns are recorded and we can see a municipal district breakdown, because I think the delivery of housing is under pressure, and if commencement notices are reducing overall, then it puts pressure on the supply of housing, which obviously, as you know, impacts the housing crisis that we're experiencing at the moment. So it was with that lens that I wanted to get some data, and I'd be seeking to revisit it next year with a view to breaking it down per municipal district.
Okay, were you also looking for zebra crossings in the municipal district?
Exactly. Like, there's a really good trial going on at the moment in some of the Dublin areas where there's a new type of pedestrian, a zebra crossing as a pedestrian crossing, which, you know, there's no lights, there's signage, but actually it really makes walking more fluid, you know, where you have these zebra crossings. And the trial's going to go on for 9 months. Kildare wasn't included in that. I was looking for us to ask, could we be considered as part of that trial, because I think it's an innovative solution to permeability and to make walking, you know, more fluid process for everybody, and I think that the cost is less for council. So after 9 months that trial will end, then the results will be assessed, and then I'll be looking for Kildare to be seeking to be included in any further progression of that, because I think it's a good initiative. So another one we'll have to watch and wait and see what happens.
You were calling on the council to write to the Department of Education regarding Leixlip Educate Together School. What's this about, Nuala?
So there's a Leixlip Educate Together school that's on a temporary site up at the back of the amenities in Leixlip, has been for some years now. It's modular units, it's reaching capacity. In the local area plan in Leixlip, there was a site identified, and we've probed and we've asked some questions. It's a minister-owned site, and we're just looking to see, look, when is this going to be progressed? Because we need to be a bit smarter about our school planning and progressing school plans, and obviously the management of the school are keen to get involved and know where is the new school going to be. So it's really just asking the council, where the forward planning team would have some discussions with the Department of Education in respect of sites at times that could look, could they write to them and see if we can progress this? Because, you know, we've a growing number of population in our town, and the kids need to go to school. You know, that's basically the simple fact. So we're just trying to progress the Educate Together school site.
And did you get an update then on the number of housing adaptation grants for older people and people living with disabilities?
I did. So basically, we had committed additional funding last year. I want to keep my eye on it to see, you know, how we're getting on. And obviously, we've recommitted new funding for it again this year. So basically, yeah, there was 493 applications progressed. And that's really positive because they're people that really need the help. So the adaptation grants are if people might be discharged from hospital and need adaptations, or if older people need adaptations to their properties and sometimes windows and doors and things. So it's a very important service to the community, and it's applicable to anybody can apply, you know, so it benefits everybody. One thing I was kind of disappointed in, just in the data recording, not in the process itself, was that actually we're not writing down people's town addresses. Like, we don't need their full address, but it's kind of like there was like 7 or 8 data points on the form where people say, what is your address? Do you know what I mean? So I think it's important for kind of the data assessments to log that. And if we're asking people to write in their address several times, we should really record that, you know. So these are the small parts of the process that I'd like to kind of enhance. But I'm delighted to see that people are getting grant approved, and I think it's a very important service that the council provides for the community.
Okay, finally then, Nuala, on Tuesday we spoke to Sinn Féin housing spokesperson Eoin O'Brien, who was calling for people to get out onto the streets this Saturday for the Raise the Roof rally for housing in Parnell Square in Dublin. I know you've been very active in terms of Raise the Roof Kildare. Tell us a little bit about this, what it is, and what they're hoping to achieve on Saturday.
Yeah, so Raise the Roof is a coalition of political parties, all the trade unions, NGO groups, and basically nobody has not been affected by the housing crisis. I mean, there was a big statement by all of the teaching unions came out in support of Raise the Roof, and the nursing and midwives union. So it's really across everybody in Ireland knows somebody who is or has been impacted by the housing crisis, whether it means you can't afford to buy a house, you can't find a rental at reasonable rates, people going to college, you know, people, there's people trying to get jobs, and rental is a barrier to them finding their jobs. So basically what the rally is for people to come out and say, look, we need a bigger approach to housing. We need to deal with a range of solutions. We need to implement some kind of strategies. Like, there's been plenty of strategies mooted, but everybody needs to come together to demonstrate to the government that it's not really acceptable. Their housing strategy, Housing for All, is not working. There needs to be a construction program for social housing. Leasing is not working. It's really everybody, ordinary families who excuse me, in the normal course of events would have been able to find a house to buy or a house to rent, cannot find a solution at the moment. So it's really systematic. It affects people of every age, and it's working people, it's everybody. Do you know what I mean? It's really crucial. So we've been kind of flyering and postering around the county. There's a Kildare Raise the Roof team as well. I think we've a presence on social media. So if anybody would like to get in touch with us or come along on the day, we'd only be delighted to kind of work together with everybody. But I think the Raise the Roof team themselves are just looking for everybody to come together to demonstrate solidarity. Now, one difference with this rally to other rallies is there's some really good musical acts. So that's something to look forward to. So we wanted to end on a positive.
Definitely. That's Saturday, this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock, assembling in Parnell Square in Dublin for that Raise the Roof rally. And Social Democrats councillor with those issues around the Leixlip area, Nuala Killeen. Thanks indeed, Nuala.